Easter story, the resurrection story to you today from Matthew chapter 28. We're reading from verses 1 to 10. Matthew writes and says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" This is the word of the Lord. May we pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this glorious day, a day in which your children around the world have gathered to celebrate the resurrection story and to know deep in their hearts that Jesus Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed. We pray today, Lord, for our gathering in this place, that all who've come into this place of worship might know that there is a God who loves them and that there's a Savior who died for them and that there's a Spirit of God that dwells within them to give them peace and joy and hope. May each of us today experience your presence in this place and know that our Redeemer lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. I have the amazing privilege and honor to share with you a message today on this Easter Sunday in which I've entitled "The Difference a Day Makes." The Difference a Day Makes. I was thinking about that over these past few days as we have gone through various observances and celebrations of Holy Week. On Thursday, we were here. We had the windows open. It was 80 degrees outside. We gathered on Good Friday. Some of us tried to build an ark because of the rain. And then yesterday, the kids hunted Easter eggs, not outside, but inside because it was 40 degrees. Oh, the difference a day makes. That's Ohio in the springtime, isn't it? This time of year in the state of Ohio, we experience all four seasons in just a matter of hours. Spring and winter. Spring and construction. All four seasons. It made me wonder what the record was for the greatest temperature differential in the United States in recorded history. And I learned this week that there was actually a place in Montana in 1972. You can look this up. Loma, Montana, in 1972, between January the 14th and January the 15th, thermometers surged from a negative 54 degrees to a 49 degrees above zero in 24 hours. So the next time we complain about Ohio weather, think about a 103-degree differential in 24 hours. Oh, the difference a day makes. One day can make a difference in your life. I hope today, above all days, you know that to be true, that one day can make a difference in your life. In one day, God can change everything around. If you take nothing else from this Easter Sunday, take this message with you, that in one day, God can change your life. Your past can be forgiven. Each one of us needs to hear that today. Our past can be forgiven. There's an old saying that says that every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. And I hope today that we hear that message as we reflect upon the scriptures that we've read. The story that Pastor Herman read to us from Acts chapter 10 is a unique story in the book of Acts, in which the apostle Simon Peter, the one we know as Simon Peter, is called by God to go into the home of a Gentile named Cornelius. And while he was there, he presented the message of the gospel. But you need to know the backstory about Cornelius. Earlier on in Acts chapter 10, in verse 3, Luke, the author of the book, tells us that one day at about 3 in the afternoon, Cornelius had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who instructed him to send for Simon Peter. So Cornelius sent some of his people to go and receive Simon Peter and invite him to his home. I love how it says that. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. Well, as God had orchestrated it, Simon Peter had his own vision. In that vision, he understood that God did not show partiality among people, that there weren't divisions among human beings that God saw. In fact, God doesn't see the barriers and the divisions that we place amongst ourselves. When God looks at us, he sees his sons and daughters whom he loves. Do you believe that today? Amen. And so Simon Peter is called to go to the home of Cornelius. And it was there that he presents the gospel. He shares the story of how Jesus died on a cross and how God raised him from the dead, and that by believing in his name, that they might have salvation. Cornelius, just like us, learned that his past could be forgiven. One day can make a difference in your life. No matter what you've brought with you into this place, no matter what your past has looked like, no matter what it is that you think separates you from the love of God, the gospel message is that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That the invitation of God is for all of us to return to him and to live in relationship with him. Do you believe that? One day can make a difference in your life. And I just want to ask you today, will today be that day? Will today be that day in which you hear the message of God's love for you so supremely communicated through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and you come to believe that whatever it is that your past is marked by, it doesn't have to keep you from God. Your past can be forgiven. But you know what else? Your present with all the problems therein can be managed. We read that story from Matthew's gospel of the women making their way to the tomb to finalize the preparations of Jesus' burial. You may know this story that on Good Friday that they had to bury Jesus in haste because the sunset was coming and the Sabbath was beginning. We know that Joseph of Arimathea and one of the Pharisees named Nicodemus buried Jesus in a borrowed tomb. But the women came back another day on the first day of the week to finish the job. And as Pastor Herman reminded us the other day, they had to finish the job because the men didn't do it right the first time. Don't tell me the Bible's not true to life. But as they were going to the tomb, one of the Gospels tells us that they were concerned about the stone that was placed over the entrance of the tomb. They began asking, "Who will roll away the stone for us?" And for me, that stone represents all the obstacles that each of us face in the path of our present. I suspect that each one of us has some obstacle, some giant stone that's in our path. And my suspicion is you probably don't have to think very long and hard to identify what your obstacle is. It could be your health. Or it could be your finances. It could be a relationship that's on the rocks. It could be an upcoming event that you're worried about. It could be an unrealized goal that you are not sure you'll ever complete. It could be all of the above and more. All I know is that each of us have problems in our present that needs to be managed. And honestly, some of us are wondering how we're going to manage it. Can I ask you a question? Can you juggle? I can. I'm not going to. But I think a lot of us go through life juggling one problem after another, keeping the plates spinning, keeping the balls in the air, wondering how in the world we're going to manage all these things that life has thrown at us. My brother taught me to juggle a long time ago when I was just a little boy. My older brother, Jeff, taught me how to juggle, and he said there's three things you need to know to learn how to juggle. First of all, you need to be patient because you're not going to get it right the first time, but you need to be patient. And the second thing you need to know is you need to focus on one thing at a time. If you're juggling three balls in the air, you can get overwhelmed with the numerity of things that are flying in front of your face, but you focus on one thing at a time. And things start to slow down for you. And the third thing he says is practice, practice, practice. Well, that's proven to be true as I've learned to juggle over the years. Not only the three balls that I may throw into the air, but the three or four or five or six problems that I juggle every day. Be patient. Focus on one thing at a time. Practice, practice, practice. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people, and he began to talk to them about the worries of life. He said, "I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or what about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" And to give us some illustrations, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes?" Jesus said. "See how the flowers of the field grow." And I love how one translation says the lilies of the field. "They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." But listen to this. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I think Jesus knew how to juggle. So it was, as those women made their way to the tomb on the first day of the week, worried about how the stone was going to be an obstacle in the path of the responsibilities they sought to fulfill, God had already taken care of it for them. Isn't that just like God? A God who loves us so much that not only does he forgive our past, but he helps us to manage our present. Oh, one day can make a difference in your life. And the day we learn to trust that God cares for us, oh, the difference it makes. Will today be that day for you? Beloved, not only can your past be forgiven and your present be managed, but your future can be assured. Your future can be assured. Bill Bright, the founder of the Campus Crusade for Christ, used to tell students years ago, God loves you and has a plan for your life. It's a simple message, but it's true. God loves you and has a plan for your life, a wonderful plan. As Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." The women made their way to the tomb. They encountered that the angel was sitting on the stone that had been rolled away. And he gave them the message, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen just as he said. And then he gave them instruction that they were to go ahead and tell the disciples to go on to Galilee. And there they would see him. You know, the interesting thing about that story is that it wasn't until the women followed the command of the angels that they actually encountered Jesus. Oh, they could have waited around to see if Jesus truly was alive. But I suspect if they had done that, they might have missed what God had planned for them. Instead, they went by faith, and the result was they encountered the risen Jesus. Friends, I don't know God's plan for your life. You may not either. But may I suggest that you don't need to. You don't have to have everything figured out. Maybe you just need to trust him. When I was a boy, our families used to take road trips. Whether it was out of state or in state, we would take a trip seemingly every summertime. And back then, you loaded up into the station wagon and well, there weren't seat belts back in that day. And so you could lay on the back part of the vehicle, the back seat or the back area of the station wagon, and you could sleep for the whole trip. And I don't remember one time as a child staying awake worrying whether or not Dad would get us there or not. He didn't have a GPS. He didn't have any type of electronic device telling him what, where to turn and where to go. He just kind of knew, I guess, how to get us from one place to the other. And as a kid, I just fell asleep in that trust that my dad knew what he was doing. God has a plan for your life. You don't have to understand it to believe it. You don't have to see it to trust it. Instead, with the faith of a child, simply trust that your Heavenly Father knows and wants what's best for you. That great Easter song says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And a life is worth living just because he lives." A I stand before you today to tell you that the resurrection of Jesus makes all the difference in the world. History changed that day. Life changed that day. We can be changed this day by placing our faith in the one who is and who was and who is to come, Jesus the Christ. One difference, one day can make the difference in your life. And I wonder if today will be that day. In the magazine U.S. News and World Report, there's a section called News You Can Use, which I suppose implies that perhaps there are some news that you can't use. That may or may not be true. But we certainly live in an information society. There's an information glut that goes around. And I suppose a lot of what's out there I really don't even know how to use. But the Easter message is about the gospel. In fact, it's the gospel in its simplest form. That God loves us, that Jesus died for us, that Jesus is risen, and the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's good news. That's the gospel. The gospel is news that you can use because it changes your life. That story in Acts 10 where Peter goes to Cornelius' house and shares the gospel message. One of the things that strikes me is that Peter presents the message and then kind of gets out of the way. And the next thing you know, God begins to move and hearts begin to change and lives are altered for the good. In the 44th verse of that chapter, a passage we didn't read in today's reading, it simply says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message." Before our service began today, a few of us gathered in my office and we prayed that very prayer that the Holy Spirit would move in the hearts of all who come today. And that there might be one thing that is said or sung or prayed that might touch a person's heart, that draw them closer to God. And that this one day on the calendar, this Easter Sunday of 2019, might make a difference in somebody's life. I wonder if it's made a difference in your life today. You know, I would not be faithful to the Lord, and honestly wouldn't be doing my job right if I didn't offer you an invitation today. An invitation to believe the message that's been proclaimed. I know that many of us in this place have responded to such an invitation in the past, whether it was as a child in vacation Bible school, or a youth at a summer camp, or an adult on a mission trip, or someone who was in a church service somewhere so long ago and responded by faith to believe that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. I don't want to embarrass anyone today, but I would like, just if you've ever responded by faith to such a message, you just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. And I wonder today, with everyone's hands that are still raised, continue to be raised, there might be some of us today who have never made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of our life, to believe the resurrection story and ask God for his love. If today might be that day in which a hand might raise that's never been raised to say, "I want that." No one's going to ask you to do anything, and no one's going to embarrass you. But I invite you, if you believe this message, just to raise your hand. Father God, I pray today that you would enter into every heart that is willing to receive you, to believe the message that the angel told the women, that Jesus is not dead. He's alive. And I pray today, Lord, that your Spirit would move in each heart and that this day would be the difference in their life. God, I thank you for the gospel message and for your love. And I pray your blessing today on all who've heard it. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.